what the Lord, not may dream, but is dreaming about you now in this drive home, and this week, this month, this year, this decade, if we have that until the Lord comes back. I didn't know that when I was a barefoot hippie here that, one, that Jesus had anything good for my life, but secondly, that he would use me in ministry in ways that I had no idea. And I would have said, you're out of your mind if somebody had said, you're going to write a 750-page Christian resource directory with 20,000 Christian resources, be the first laptop computer on the 700 Club to create a crayon sketch of a Strong's Concordance of the Body of Christ, which K-Love Radio uses now as a prototype, so all across the country with millions of listeners and 75 major metro stations. When someone calls in to get saved, they have a database by topic to be able to refer through their zip codes anybody that's into anything. How many believe there's no original sin? It's the same old, same old. And Jesus has invaded and conquered every stronghold, every sin. How many believe there's resources in the body of Christ to deal with everything? Well, I had a spare weekend, and the Lord said, why don't you write a four-pounder? I wonder what the Lord's whispering to you about. The Lord said to me, he said, take the testimony of one of your saved ex-dope dealer friends that became a hope dealer and a pastor that used to smuggle it in by the ton into Arizona, but now is a dealer and distributor for Jesus 30 years later as well. But the Lord said, take his testimony, put it in a tract, put a marijuana leaf on the gospel tract, see what I do with it. And the Lord multiplied that millions and millions and millions of times. In fact, we mailed out a packet of 10 or 12 different testimony tracts to 2,700 youth pastors at one time in one mailing. How many believe that's at least a small start? The Lord has seeds and abilities and talents in you, whether you're going to be a doctor or an engineer or a pilot or a, as my wife rightfully calls her profession, a full-time human engineer. Whatever you're going to be is based on who you are. And I want to talk about who you are this morning from a little different slant. I want to talk about the apostle of our, but first of all, the author and perfecter of our faith, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, that how he suffered and how he allowed himself to be crucified and the nails to go through his hands and his feet and to be beaten beyond recognition, as the last verse of Isaiah 52 says, before the suffering servant chapter, Isaiah 53. So I wonder if there was somebody like this on the campus these days who would dare to love him in Jesus' name. Nobody dare. And I hope more than one of you will build bridges to every person on the campus. And I am looking forward. I want two copies of the Chi Alpha CD. How about you? The worship, the Chi Alpha worship team. The rave team. That was just beautiful last night. And I just wish some of the people up front in the final hour or two could have loosened up a little. No, it was divinely beautiful. I believe the Lord was divinely blessed. I want to give you a compliment or two, and one of them is that if I could, I would send my daughter to UVA to be part of your Chi Alpha group. And I say that as a compliment. You ladies, you know what a filth, lost, broken place the world is. But you are modeling. Ladies and God's men here, you're modeling Jesus. There's people thinking about Jesus right now because of you, people that don't know him. So keep on as we tie up this morning. Remember, we mentioned last night that commitment, you want your commitment to grow in the Lord. His commitment to you can't grow anymore because it's perfect. He can't love you any more than he already does. Can I get an amen? You can't get him to love you any less. You can't get him to love you any more. But we can be open to that love as as we open ourselves to relationship, because you don't trust anybody any more than you have a relationship with. And so relationship produces commitment. And we want to talk about the apostle of R. We're going to look at the Gospel of John, of baby John, I call him, as being the youngest of the disciples. But just last night, I forgot the clinching line, but the Lord didn't, because he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. But, you know, Peter couldn't stand up to the campfire girls, as we mentioned last night. In fact, the third time we said he swore to God, I don't even know this man. But because Jesus didn't break relationship with Peter, we know that his faith didn't fail, his strength did, that he bounced back, and on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Passover, Pentecost meaning harvest, Peter was used with John alongside, but we hear Peter lifting up his voice and seeing 3,000 people get saved. But decades later, the same Peter who couldn't stand up to the campfire girls happened to fulfill Jesus' words at the end of John 21, where Jesus said, when you're older, they're going to tie you up and take you where you don't want to go. And Peter got an expense-paid trip to Rome, stood before the most powerful man on the planet, and his wife was right next to him. And Peter said to Nero, he said, you can crucify me, he said, but I'm not worthy to die like my Lord. Because Peter had seen the dead raised, Peter had seen cripples walk, Peter had seen blind eyes open, and he had seen the God of relationship never, 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 say it with me, never, I can't hear you, never, never, never break relationship with him, because Jesus never broke relationship with him. 30, 40 years later, Peter, before Nero, said, I'm not worthy to die like my Lord. Hit me with your best shot. Crucify me upside down. And Peter was crucified upside down next to his wife, who was crucified right side up, because they knew who they believed. How many believe there's a little bit of the power of relationship there? Can you say amen? In the face of death, to realize that Jesus had conquered the grave. Now, how many of you are glad you're not going back to be crucified at UVA? Can you get an amen? Can you? But there's a price to put our flesh down and let the Spirit ascend in us, as far as allowing Jesus to say what he wants, do what he wants, be who he wants and who he is inside of us. So we learn that God is not just omnipotent and omniscient, but God is relational. And you learned a bit about my family. I learned a bit about your Chi Alpha family. I hope I get to come back. How many would like to see the whole campus R-rated? Amen. And I know we're waking up this morning. I want to get right into the Gospel of John. So if you would turn to, open your 66 pack to the Gospel of John. The only disciple that was at the foot of the cross, where Jesus gave over the care of his mother to John and said, son, behold your mother, and woman, behold your son. John had many names. John was the disciple whom Jesus loved. It says five times in the gospel, Jesus loved all the disciples. Some people think that John was Jesus' favorite. Actually, Jesus was John's favorite. Say it with me. Jesus was John's favorite. How many here today have Jesus as your favorite? I believe every one of us. But John is also called the son of Zebedee. He was his dad, Zebedee. He was the brother of James. He's called John the Revelator, St. John the Divine, John the Beloved, and John the Apostle of Love. Nothing new to us. Why baby John? Some church historians say he was the youngest of the 12. But it's interesting, in Mark 3:17, the shortest of the Gospels, the only place in the four Gospels where Jesus called James and John Boanerges, or the Sons of Thunder. It sounds like something from the World Wrestling Federation, Sons of Thunder. But in Luke chapter 9, verse 52, we see that Jesus sent out his disciples as advance teams to where he was headed, to preach, and the Samaritans wouldn't receive Jesus, James and John came back. They refused to give the keys of the city to James and John. And so James and John show their real depth of Christian love by saying, "Lord, should we call down fire and French fry these Samaritans?" What a depth of love. Anybody here ever get angry at somebody besides me? I don't know that you're angry at me, but I grew up in a family where my father was a Phi Beta Kappa and a valedictorian and graduated at 20, putting himself through college, etc. But I grew up in a family where my parents said they'd never gotten angry at each other, ever. How many know there's a river in Egypt called the Nile? It's one of the great rivers of the world. Anger is not a sin. God is angry with the wicked every day, and yet God's heart is broken for the wicked. Anger is not a sin, but we need to let the Holy Spirit manage it. Can you say amen? And to manage all of our emotions. But here's a little bit of anger that they want to call down fire. Maybe they want power. But John learned that the power of Elijah calling down fire is nothing compared to God sending down the power of his love to invade the human race through his son's death and burial and resurrection and through his Holy Spirit and grace. So Jesus called them sons of thunder. I like to say he probably wasn't talking about John's mother or father, but their anger that needed to be turned into the power of love. And Jesus said to John and James there in Luke chapter 9, he says, "You know not what manner of spirit you are of. The Son of Man has not come to take men's lives, but to save them." I love the Gospel of John. I told a couple of the brothers and sisters last night that this morning's sermon is proof that I am an actual out-of-the-closet Johnaholic. How many Johnaholics are here this morning? How many love the Gospel of John? I believe that every one of us has a certain very warm affection. But what turned the thunderbolt baby John into the apostle of love? John wrote 50 chapters, more than anybody else except Paul that wrote a third of the New Testament. So we have 21 chapters in John, and then we have 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and then we have 22 chapters in Revelation. 50 chapters out of 276, almost a fifth of the New Testament. But why John, when he was called Idiotai, as one of the Idiotai that we talked about in Acts chapter 4, as I've already mentioned, Jesus was John's favorite. They all were Jesus' favorites, even though he had the 12 and then the inner three. I say, why the inner three? Was John the most spiritual, or maybe Jesus wanted to keep them from calling down fire? How many know why Peter was in the inner circle? The Lord can give us new ways of looking at things, even problems. As Kelly so beautifully quoted from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, that's the chapter of all comfort. The word parakaleo is there for the God of all comfort. It's the same word as, "I will send you the comforter." Parakaleo is also not just comforter, but encourager. And how many know that the Lord has called you to be a parakaletian? Say it with me. Parakaletian. To be a come alongside encourager. Not just to your brothers and sisters in Chi Alpha, but to the whole body of Christ and to the human race as you get next to anybody that Jesus died for, which is not anybody but everybody. John's gospel is 90% non-synoptic. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are 80% to 85% repetitive. In other words, you can find the Sermon on the Mount in Luke 6 and the Sermon on the Plain, and you can find the feeding of the 5,000 in all four Gospels, but there's other repetitive things in the Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John is 90% different. It was written 30 or 40 years as cleanup after the other Gospels. And yet I want to prove to you this morning, you've memorized more of the Gospel of John than any other Gospel, than all other three combined. And I'll illustrate that to you hopefully in the next 20 to 23 minutes as we move toward closure here. It's almost as if John had his own personal relationship with Jesus. And John did have a personal relationship with Jesus, a unique relationship, but so did all the disciples, and so do you. Why do we love the Gospel of John? Because John was in the zone. He's in the R zone. Say it with me. He's in the R zone. He's in the relationship zone. His gospel drips with relationship. The others cover the Last Supper in one chapter. John takes four chapters. He just can't pull out of it. Pull out of it, John. Come on, get over it. Get over it. He says, no, I'm not pulling out of it. I'm not getting over it. You know, they say that about young Christians sometimes. They say, well, you'll get over your first love. How many don't want to get over it? Revelation 2 and 4. We never want to get over that first love. So let's just flip through the 21 chapters very briefly of the Gospel of John. Turn to John chapter 1, verse 1. We think we know it. In the beginning was the Word, in arche, en halogos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the King James translates it, and the Word was God. But the Greek doesn't say the Word was God. The Greek says, a kai theos en halogos. Not the Word was God, but God, say it with me, God was the Word. This is not God. Come on, somebody say amen. God is not a book. God is a being, the original creator, pre-eternal, before the beginning ever began to be begun. And the Logos was with God, and God was the Logos. Not words, but a person. And John chapter 1 is full of unique things, but it's the only one, the only of the four Gospels that mentions, behold the Lamb of God, John 1:25 and John 1:36, behold the Lamb of God. John had a sense of Jesus being the Lamb of God that the others didn't pick up as they wrote their Gospels. And the Holy Spirit used him to bat cleanup as a grand slam of bringing depth and relationship into all four of the Gospels. John chapter 2, Jesus turns the water into grape juice. Into oinos, O-I-N-O-S, into wine. And what Mary says in John chapter 2, verse 7 is a good memory verse. Nike picked up on it in marketing. Whatsoever he says to you, what's the rest of it? Do it. Jesus is saying to every one of us, spell it with a much larger, infinitely growing, glowing, thriving, life-giving R. He's saying, bring it to the relationship dimension out of the kidnapped dimension of Greek Hellenization philosophical distortion of the relationality of the gospel. John chapter 3, we know about Nicodemus. We've all heard in the media about Nick at night. And Nicodemus came at night to Jesus. And we see the beautiful words where the Bible says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said, good master, we know you're a teacher come from God. Nobody could do the miracles you do except God be with him. And Jesus said, well, Nicodemus, I know that you're the wealthiest man in Israel. Josephus writes that Nicodemus was close to a billionaire, that he could support 200,000 people in Jerusalem for 3 months on his private income. So what Jesus said was, Nick, listen, as long as you keep the tithe coming, everything's cool. How many know that's not what he said? Can I get an amen? Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a man be born again, the Greek word is anathen, which means from above. It's used in the same chapter twice later on, but three times Jesus says you must be born again, born from heaven, born from above, born of the water and of the Spirit. What a beautiful chapter, John chapter 3. How many are glad somebody wrote down the words of John 3:16 as well as you must be born again? And we all know the verse, and yet it becomes almost automatic. And we forget God so preciously prized the cosmos, and not the creation, but his ultimate creation, every human being. How many people will you rub shoulders with today, this week, this month, this year, this lifetime that Jesus died for? Can't hear you. Everybody, every single person. But it's the love of God inside us that sensitizes us to see people as Jesus sees them. But I love John 3:17 even more than 16, that God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John chapter 4 with the woman at the well that had been married 5 times. A lot of churches wouldn't want her. How many know Jesus wanted her, won her, wooed her, blessed her, and then used her to bring revival in Acts chapter 8 to Samaria as well? How many love this verse here? For God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And this is interesting. Look in your Bible translations. You see the capital H there? Most of our Bibles don't deify the divine pronoun because we don't spell it with a big enough. My wife's name is Jeanette. Her title is wife. If I say in the morning, wife, is the coffee ready? How many know I better be ready? When you love somebody, when you know somebody, you don't call them by their title, you call them by their first name. The angel said, you shall call his name Jesus. Christ is his title, Jesus is his name. Listen to Christian radio and listen to your own Christian songs and talk. His name is Jesus. His full name and title is Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah. How about Philippians 2:10? Neither is there salvation. That at the God has given him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus Christ, all every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Need to move ahead here, but John chapter 4, this is a verse, if you don't know this one, you can't share it with somebody else. John 5, 20, 24, Jesus said, he that hears my words and believes into him that sent me shall not come into judgment, but is already passed. I'd like you to write that word down next to John 5, 24 on your paper somewhere, or circle that in your Bible. John 5, 24 is already passed out of death into life. Already, say it with me, already. There's a major world religion that teaches that it's presumption to say that one has eternal life. But Jesus says right here that we have already, he that believes into, not in, but he that believes into, separate preposition in the Greek, into Jesus relationally already has eternal life. And then the Holy Spirit said to John, well, you need to write down the discourse about the bread of life, because the other three gospels talk about feeding the 5,000 men plus women and children. Some commentators say it could have been 20,000 people there. Of course, only Mark and Luke talk about Jesus saying to the disciples, make the people sit down in groups of 50s and 100s, what he got from Exodus 18, from the Jethro principle there. But the only one that talks about Jesus taking it further than the 5 loaves, the 2 fishes, and the 12 baskets left over is John, who all of a sudden pulls it from the physical dimension to the spiritual relational, intimate dimension of Jesus saying in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. And he that comes to me will never hunger. He that believes in me will never thirst. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. And Jesus goes on. How many believe he's really taking it deep here where he says, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no Zoe in you. How many want Zoe in them? The Zoe, the life of God, is in Jesus. He's calling us to such deeper relationship than our current drive-through McChristianity in America. They say the church in America is 3,000 miles wide and a 16th of an inch deep. How many know that's not the case in Chi Alpha UVA? Can I get an amen? And yet the Lord wants us to go deeper, to be a really deep sheep. Say it with me. Deep sheep. Let me hear you. Bah. Bah. I can't hear you. Bah. Bah. The Lord wants you to be deep enough to go beyond shallow theology to Teflon theology, to the Teflonicity, to the Velcro of relationship, where he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. He says, he's calling us out of the shallows, deeper into him to hear his heartbeat. What a beautiful discourse there in John chapter 6. And the Bible says that the disciples in 665 and 666, then from that time, many of them ceased to walk with him. But none of us, we're going to walk with him, walk in him, and let him walk and live and rule in us. John chapter 7, Jesus said, as the scriptures, on the last day of the feast, Jesus raised his voice and says, as the scriptures promise, he that believes in me, as the scriptures promise, out of their heart shall flow a drip of living water. The Greek word there is Potoma. Rivers, that's where we get the name for Potomac District, Potomac River. Rivers, say it with me. Rivers of living water. John 7, 38 and 39. How many want a river flowing out of you and not just a drip or a little trickle? It all comes from relationship with him. John chapter 8, the woman caught in adultery. Well, Moses wrote that both the man and the woman would be stoned. How many know something was missing when they threw her down at Jesus' feet? But the Bible says that Jesus stooped down. And they had picked up stones to stone the lady. And Jesus wrote something in the ground, in the sand. And then he said, let him, I love these words, say it with me. Let he that is without sin cast the first stone. You know, this week you're going to have a chance to throw a stone at somebody in your thought, in your emotions, in your interactions, in your relationship. The Bible says from the eldest to the youngest, the Greek word there is presbyteros, from the eldest, from the oldest in the Lord to the youngest, and they were not even in the Lord. They had the word of God, but they didn't have the God of the Torah. They were the people of the book, but not the people of the God of the book. What beautiful words. Jesus says to her, then where are those that condemn you? She says, no one, Lord. And then he says, neither do I condemn you. How many know he's saying that to you right now? He's saying that to you this afternoon and tomorrow and next week for the rest of your life and forever. And then in John chapter 9, actually, the man born blind, look at them saying, who sinned, Lord? This man, this man's parents, or this man? He's born blind. How do you sin before you're born to be born blind? Somebody go, duh. Somebody say, blame game. Satan is into the blame game. We all loved Revelation 12:11. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimonies. We all loved that verse, Revelation 12:11. But the verse before it, 12:10, just for you to look at the connection there. The accuser of the brethren that accused them before the throne of God day and night. Satan is the accuser. God to you, you to God, you to yourself, you to others, others to you. Blame, 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 blame. How many know that's a losing game? And Satan has lost that game because Jesus came and paid the price in full, as we're going to look at when he said, tetelestai, paid in full on the cross, it is finished. John chapter 10, I love the good shepherd chapter. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep. And when I lead them forth, I call them by their PIN number, by their barcode, by their social security number. No, he calls each of us by our, and my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. But I am the door of the sheep. If any man enter through with me, in through me, he shall find pasture and shall find life. And I love John 10:10. You love it too. Not only that the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but that Jesus said, I am come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. How many are glad somebody wrote those words down? Take the Gospel of John out of your faith, and we've got some huge gaping holes. John chapter 11, and we read about Lazarus being sick and Martha and Mary, that he stayed at their bed and breakfast frequently in Bethany outside Jerusalem. How many hope that Lazarus could do something like wash dishes or maybe barbecue or something? But anyway, they were all friends of Jesus, and he was sick, and Jesus waited until the fourth day he came, and both Mary and Martha blamed Jesus. Each of them says, if you had been here, Lord, our brother would not have died. And Jesus says then in 11:24, he says, don't you believe your brother will rise again in the resurrection? Oh, I love this so much. And Martha says, yes, Lord, I believe he will rise again in the resurrection. And then what does Jesus say in 11:25? He says, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the Anastasis. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though we were dead. Watch what Jesus says here, because this is going to spin your mind, hopefully, forever until the Lord comes back and beyond that. Jesus says, he that's dead and believes in me, yet he shall live. And whoever lives and believes into me, not in, but into, shall never die. Somebody say, yes, Lord. Idiotai checking in. How many know there's more than one in the room on the platform? I dare you to say idiotai checking in. Say it with me. Idiotai checking in. It was their relationship, not their knowledge. We don't have to understand it for it to be true. In John 12, Jesus says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to me, not just to be glorified, but signifying how he was going to die. In John 13, just moving along here, the whole Gospel of John, almost totally unique to the other Gospels. John 13, with the foot washing, Jesus takes a basin, takes off his outer garment, and takes a servant's towel and a basin, starts washing their feet. He gives the one new commandment. The disciples are fighting over who's going to be the first, and Jesus is showing that the first, the greatest, will be the doulos, not the douless, but the actual, not just servant, but the slave of all. I want to go back to John 13 just for a second. Close your eyes if you would. And Jesus says that one of them are going to betray him. And they looked around wondering who it was. Keep your head down if you would, your eyes closed. Peter beckoned to the disciple whom Jesus loved and said, you ask him. It says that John had his head on Jesus' chest, hearing Jesus' heartbeat. Pray that we could hear your heartbeat afresh from this weekend, Lord. Not because of any speaker, Lord, or any knowledge, but because of your love. Your heartbeat saying, I love you. I love you. I love you. I really love you. I died for you. I'm never, 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 never going to leave you or forsake you. You are my treasure. You are my prize. You are my joy. You are my son and my daughter. You are my lambs, my sheep, my flock. Draw closer to me. Hear my heart. Hear my heart for you. Jesus, then as you, if you want, you can raise your head, you can keep your eyes down if you want. Then Jesus said, he to whom I give the sop. And then Judas went out into the night. Jesus went on to give his new commandment that I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men, by this shall all Charlottesville, by this shall all UVA, by this shall all your Chi Alpha, by this shall all your core group know that you are my disciples, by the agape love that you have one to another. And then John carries on with the Last Supper discourse, another chapter where the others have all squeezed it into one. John starts out in John 14 and he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And then Thomas says to Jesus, say it with me, Thomas says to Jesus, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And how many of you love John 14, 6? Jesus says to him, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. What beautiful words. You know what Jesus was saying there? I am the way. I don't teach you the way. I'm not teaching you a method. I myself am the hados. So in Greek, O-D-O-S. I am the highway. The same words from Exodus, X out of, like on the door here, and hados, the highway out for Exodus. Jesus is saying, he is the highway. Say it with me. He is the highway. Not pointing to it. He himself is the journey, is the road, is the highway. Not the method. He himself. And then John 15 with the true vine, where he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Except the branch abide in me, it can do nothing. But if you abide in me, you shall bring forth much fruit. And then John 16, he says, it's better for me to leave. No one else talks about the Holy Spirit. How many are glad somebody did? It was baby John. John was different. John was the one in the zone. John was the R-rated. Say it with me. John was the R-rated disciple. And just as we move to a closer, and then the intercessory prayer of Jesus, the high priestly prayer, which we think was prayed in Gethsemane. Many of us would say, yeah, it's in Gethsemane, but look close and you'll see that John 17 was prayed, and then the beginning of 18, chapter 18, it says, then they crossed the brook Kedron and went into the Garden of Gethsemane. And in John 18, when they come to get Jesus, Mel Gibson shows a riot breaking out after Jesus is praying, but in John 18, there wasn't a riot. Because the Bible says in John 18, verse 3, that when Jesus said, I am he, they all fell backwards on the ground, as I said last night. But I like to share that, why did they fall backwards on the ground? Jesus flicked his bright lights. Say it with me. He flicked his brights. He flicked his bright lights. The same voice that said, let there be, said, I am he. In that garden, there's no other reason why 200 people would have fallen backwards. Then he said, then he had to encourage them and say, if you want me, then let these other ones go. There wasn't a brawl, as we see in the beautiful film of the Passion there. And then John 19, the only one that records Jesus on the cross saying, it is finished. The word is tetelestai, which means not just finished, but paid in full. Say it with me. Paid in full. Just as we draw to a close. The whole Gospel of John, so beautiful. And then he sees Thomas, turns doubting Thomas into a sprouting promise. And Jesus is still turning your doubts and mine into sprouts. How many in here still have some doubts besides Grandpa here? Somebody say, I do. And the Lord is turning those doubts into sprouts and seeds, into blossoms and fruit for his kingdom. And then the only one who mentions the beautiful words, not only feed my sheep, but first he says, if you love me, feed my lambs. I just want to mention just a couple more things about John. We love 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. We love Revelation. John, the apostle of love, is the one who not only wrote that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. But John, the apostle of love, is the one who wrote the real love chapter. We think the real love chapter is 1 Corinthians 13. My wife had it read at our wedding when we were barefoot. Somebody say barefoot. I don't know why, but shoes on now. But the real love chapter is 1 John chapter 4, which has the word agape in it 27 times. Instead of 9 for 1 Corinthians 13. Beloved, let us love one another, for God is love, and he that loveth knoweth God. He that loveth not does not know God, because God is love. The real love chapter, showing that God is love. I shared with you last night that my heart is burning and burdened for the missing harvest across America, and I won't belabor these statistics, but 96% of 5.2 million converts is missing just in one denomination. I believe that God has real revival for America, and yet from the West Coast where I live, the whole West Coast of over 1,200, 1,400 Assembly God churches, just as an example of the body of Christ, created a minus out of almost 75,000 converts. I want to pray and ask you to pray with me and ask you to pray for us to be a missionary to help stop a holocaust of baby lambs missing across the country. And I know we have to close here. If you'd like to stay in touch with me, you can reach me just through my blog, which is Mark of the Feast. Say it with me, Mark of the Feast. And I wonder if God has used something that was said Friday night, yesterday, or this morning to help you realize that this is not just parsley or some cute spin of a phrase on being R-rated. It's not only life and death for your faith, but it's the way to reach the people that have been plasticized and sprayed with programmatic, Hellenistic, Teflonistic theology instead of invited to this personal, beautiful, wonderful relationship. You know, we all love to be encouraged. And if there's something that you could write, Pete said that somebody came up to him and said that this was, that the teaching this weekend, and they put a complimentary word in there. And if there was something that you could write or email me, I would love to see every Chi Alpha in America. How many believe God wants them to be thriving, growing, glowing? If there's anything you could write me or write to anyone else at Chi Alpha or for Pete to help open doors for this, I would appreciate it. The hardest thing I do is ask for help because I like to think that I'm already a pretty humble person. But you know, there's a story about a church board that gave a pastor, a most humble pastor in the county, medal, and he started to wear it and they had to take it back. The hardest thing any missionary does is ask for help. It's not easy for Pete and Amy to ask for your help. It's not easy for me to ask for your help too. Some of you are going to be pastors. Some of you are going to be businessmen and businesswomen. Some of you are going to be prospered with a gift of making dollars and prosperity so that your gift of giving can be prospered. I just want to ask you, I know as college students, many, maybe all, don't have anything to get by resources off of my table. But to pray for the R book, the R-rated book, to get out, to pray for me is something all the money in the world can't do what prayer can. Say it with me. Prayer can, because prayer is relationship. Prayer is relational. Prayer is relationship. And as a missionary, I need people to help us, to help send us, put gas in our tank, and to put food on our table, and to keep us going for the Lord. I'm just going to move on to the end here. Commitment doesn't produce relationship. Say it with me. Commitment doesn't produce relationship. Relationship produces commitment. I'm going to close with this scripture from Philippians. I am confident and persuaded of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you, every one of you beautiful young Chi Alphans here, will perform and complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask Pete to come up and to close our time. We looked at Satan being the R minus, God being the R plus, the cross becoming the ultimate plus sign of eternity. I love you guys. I'm very proud of you. I wish there had been 1/10 of what you are right now in Jesus. And how many know the best is still yet to come? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The best for Chi Alpha UVA is still yet to come. And I want you to pray for that and to believe God for thousands of people to be won for the Lord on the UVA campus. God bless you.
Let me just stay up here for a second. I was kind of doing a review of the weekend, and this, as looking at my notes, and so you told us to get loaded and to be agape attack sheep and to be deep sheep.
Yeah.
May we be, huh?
Amen. It's what we need to be, who we are. And
yeah.
We are in Christ.
Yeah, may we be people who wake up with hangovers and get loaded again.
I call it, amen, amen.
Amen.
I call a hangover really an overhang, because God, although God loves straights and hippies, God has a rainbow over his throne, the Bible says in Revelation. It's not a hangover, but an overhang.
Okay.
To live under the influence and in the influence
of
our wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Jesus.
Yeah. Thank you, Jonathan, for sharing your heart with us and sharing God's word with us, and God's heart, more importantly. Boy, can we just give him a round of applause and thanks? By the way, it's Psalm 68, what, that tells us to get loaded? Okay. I have to use that one. Just getting loaded this morning. That's all I'm doing. Wow. Let's just close this out in prayer. Lord, all these one-liners that were thrown out, but truly, if we lived them, would be life-changing. Lord, help that to happen, that we would feed upon your word, that we would be intoxicated with our relationship with you and the blessings of following after you, and that would flow out of our lives. Lord, that we would be agape attack sheep, that we would love with agape love, that we would be deep sheep who, when you call us out to the deep waters, that we follow. Lord, thank you for inviting us into fellowship with you, into the marriage with the bridegroom, that we as the bride of Christ can walk with the bridegroom, and forever that at that feast that we bear the mark of now with the Holy Spirit in us, promising for the feast that lies ahead, that the feast, the marriage banquet, Lord, that we will be with you forever as your bride. Lord, I pray that these words would go from head knowledge to heart knowledge, and that they would go from sayings to things that define us, and that we would truly be transformed by that. Well, not by that, by you. By you. So, Lord, thank you for bringing Jonathan. We do pray for his wife as she walks through the valley with her mother. Lord, give her grace every day to show agape love to her mom. Pray for his daughter. Pray for them as they've sacrificed, allowing their dad and their husband to be with us. Lord, bless them today. Renew them in their spirit today, for they have sacrificed to make this retreat possible. So bless them, O God. And we just pray for your abundance in our lives as we go home. Lord, I pray for safe travel over every car. Pray for your traveling mercies over every car. Yeah, keep them from driver error. Keep them from any mechanical failure. Keep your hand upon them. And Lord, give them the grace as they go back. Multiply their time and studies that they may be pushed aside a little bit while they're here, Lord. That they would be blessed for having made you the priority this weekend. So Lord, we just pray over our fellowship that we would be R-rated individually and as a community. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I have a couple announcements. We have a tradition that we always get a fall retreat picture because the next retreat, we're with other Chi Alphas. And so I'd like first to go outside. Don't sit down unless you want a wet spot on your rear quarter. But if we could go outside and just kind of be on the hill and kind of graduate, I'd like to get a picture. And also, we have some T-shirts left. We're out of smalls. We have some medium, some large, and I think a couple extra large. But if you would like to pick one of those up on the way out, you can do that. So we have a goal to leave this campground in better condition than when we got here. And so there's only one way this campground stays nice, and that's by people being good stewards of it. So we want to do that. So we're going to get a picture, then you can load up. Make sure, in fact, I want somebody to grab a cup on the way out for every car, and I want the cup to go in a cup holder, and I want each person to put their gas money in the cup holder so the driver doesn't have to awkwardly ask you for money, because that's awkward, you know? And so we want every car to have a cup, and if you're cashless, I'm sure they'll take credit card, plus dollars and the like. You're like, I'll give you plus dollars. No. So thank you for making an investment in yourself this weekend with time and money, and I believe that the Lord will give you good dividends on that investment. You believe that? All right. So, well, let's go get a picture, and then come back if you want to grab your stuff and head out. Safe travels. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow.
that Jesus Christ has all power in heaven and earth. Somebody say amen.